RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Hello, for listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll bring you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by press review, today in history, focus, and news in brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news read by Rahman. First, the headlines. More state-owned companies start joining tax amnesty. Indonesia and the Philippines to step up joint patrol in Sulawesi. Now the news in detail. Indonesian Directorate General of Taxation said on Tuesday that small and medium enterprises mass had begun to dominate the tax annexy in October, summed by the increasing number of people who submitted asset statement letters, SPHs, to tax offices. Hestu Yoga Saksama, the tax office spokesman, said in the second round until October 26 until 30,513 individuals had handed over SPS, with a total redemption payment reaching around 716 billion rupiah, or around $54.9 million. Director General of Taxation Kent Duijaga Steady said the tax office continued to provide simple services for SMEs in a bid to increase their participation. He said SPH for SMEs can be handwritten and submitted collectively through association. The Directorate General is working together with the Indonesian Employer Association of Indo and the Indonesian Chamber of Commerce and Industry Kadin to help them. Indonesian and Philippine navies have planned to conduct coordinated joint patrols in effort to increase border security, according to high-level meeting this week. Indonesian Eastern Armada Commander Rear Admiral Darwanto said in Surabaya on Tuesday that it is proposed to be held twice a year during a Wednesday evening session of the Eastern Armada Control. Darwanto said that the partnership had been formalized during the 35th Philippine-Indonesian Border Committee meeting early this month. Patrols will focus on the Sulawesi borders between Miangas and the southern Philippines, which had seen increasing kidnappings of Syed group from the Philippine separatist groups. Both navies will follow up on the partnership with their consistent reporting to senior officers, a faster implementation of patrol mechanism and security and information exchanges. Jakarta Governor Basuki Cahayapurnama has joined hands to cooperate with 8 companies to finance the renovation of Hotel Indonesia, HI Roundabouts Water Fountain, which will cost 28 billion rupiah ahead of the Asian Games 2018. Governor Basuki had earlier invited 16 companies to chip through Corporate Social Responsibility SRSIMT. However, only 8 companies operating around Hotel Indonesia Roundabout have welcomed his proposal. Jakarta Parks and Smetre Office Head Japar Muhlisin said that the 8 companies will design the water fountain revamped. The companies will be responsible for the maintenance of the water fountain for 12 months once an agreement is signed. A representative of the 8 companies, Senior Mas Krut Managing Director Gandhi Sulistiyanto Suhairman, has expressed his delight over the prospect of the collaboration with Governor Basuki Cahayapurnama to renovate Hotel Indonesia Roundabout. He said it is not only symbol of Jakarta, it's the symbol of Indonesia. A new facility has been introduced in Indonesia that will be used to promote economic development to stimulate grain growth and improve rural livelihoods. The Tropical Landscape Finance Facility, consisting of a loan fund and a grant fund, aims to achieve climate targets set under the Paris Agreement. It will make public funding available to finance renewable energy production and sustainable landscape management. Tropical Landscape Finance Facility Steering Committee Chairman Dr. Kuntoro Mangkusubroto said in a statement on Wednesday that this groundbreaking and innovative financial platform can transform the lives of and livelihoods of millions of Indonesians in rural areas. Through sustainable production of agriculture commodities, the facility will scale up investment in renewable energy to assist the rural poor. The Minister of Environment and Forestry fully backs the facility as it falls in line with the Indonesian sustainable development aspirations. This news is coming to you from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Bank Indonesia BI unveiled on Tuesday a wakaf or Islamic endowment based on Sukuk Islamic bond and a developing social property asset to become commercially self-sustaining. Bank Indonesia Deputy Governor Hendar said that the Sukuk could further finance the development of commercial buildings such as office towers or shopping center over wakaf land. The coupon will be paid from the recurring income of the asset, according to Muhammad Anwar Basori, Bank Indonesian head of the Syariah Economy and Finance Department. Wakaf land was traditionally used for social and public purposes such as cemeteries, mosques, and pesantren or Islamic boarding schools. Due to maintenance needs, the wakaf asset manager usually collects money through spontaneous crowdfunding mechanisms such as asking for donations at the mosque and even on the street. Wakaf-based sukuk could be a solution for that, providing cash to cover maintenance costs. Media, as the main actor of the journalism, should become a role model and educate people on ethical journalism. The media should also provide accurate and balanced information for the public because the entire journalist activity is in part the public and under the public supervision. This was stated by Esther Ankin from Canadian Broadcaster Corporation Ombudsman for English Services in the Conference of World Broadcasting Union, WBU, that took place in Nusa Dua, Bali recently.
So, as most of you do know from this morning's session, I'm the Ombudsman for the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation, and my job is to ensure that the journalism meets the bar of balance and accuracy. I'm the citizen's representative, and it's my obligation to treat their concerns with an open mind, to assess the validity of their complaints, and to educate the public about ethical journalism.
Esther added that media as a form of public service presents the information in middle or near the public. It is intended to make the information be obtained easily from reliable source. The last item, Indonesia's ranking in the Ease of Doing Business Index has climbed 15 places to 91 from the previous rank of 106. The increase is the world record because no other country could increase 15 levels in a year. This was stated by Chairman of Investment Coordinating Board BKB and Thomas Lampun at a press conference about investment realization from July until September 2016 at the BKB and office in Jakarta on Thursday. However, he said that President Joko Widodo is not satisfied with the increase because Indonesia is a big country. Lampun explained Indonesia needs to work harder to boost the ease of doing business index so that it can increase more significantly.
Saya pikir dengan kita banting tulang tahun ini sehingga peringkat
Indonesia. I think we have worked so hard this year that Indonesia could raise the ease of doing business index from 106 to be 91. It is a good achievement. A friend of mine from World Bank said that the increase of 15 levels in 1 year is the biggest achievement in the history of the index. In the history of index, no other country could jump 15 points in 1 year. So we broke the world record. However, President Joko Widodo got angry with the level. I think he's right. For a big country such Indonesia, the level 91 is not satisfactory.
Beliau, kalau kita serius merenungkan, untuk negara seperti kita, sebetulnya peringkat 91 itu sangat-sangat tidak memuaskan lah.
Furthermore, Thomas Lembong said that the Indonesian investment realization from January until September 2016 attained 453.4 trillion rupiah, and it increased 13.4% compared to the same period in 2015. Meanwhile, the foreign investment has increased 10.6% or around 295.2 trillion rupiah. He further said the increase of investment realization from January to September 2016 has opened more than 960,000 jobs. That's news over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
listener a commentary today entitled, Will the United States Retract Economic Embargo on Cuba? After 3 decades of resolute embargo against Cuba, the United States finally softened its stance. For the first time within 24 years, the United States decided to abstain in the voting related to the annual UN resolution to end the embargo against the socialist state. The decision to abstain was made over the last weeks of President Barack Obama's administration. The sign of attitude change was seen with the improvement of diplomatic relations between Washington and Havana last year. The decision to abstain in the United Nations General Assembly, as stated by U.S. Ambassador to the UN, Samantha Power, shows that Washington changes its policy and strategy of isolating Cuba. The decision made at the last moment of the administration of Barack Obama and ahead of the presidential election next week is likely to change again if the Republican Party wins an election and leaks the presidency. To understand the Republican Party is really firmed to the U.S. continue to support and enforce the economic embargo against Cuba. The stand was sent when President Barack Obama resumed his diplomatic relation with the government in Havana. The senators from the Republic firmly rejected and denounced Obama's new policy. At the end of the presidential campaign, will the policy of this abstention be likely to be a new issue of Donald Trump? The effort to end the embargo against Cuba has in fact been carried out since 1992. Every year, the government of Havana harnesses the session of the United Nations General Assembly as a political stage. As a result, the effort of Havana came into reality. This year, a total of 191 countries have retreated the economic embargo that has lasted for 56 years. In the UN this year, only Israel also abstained, as Washington did. The question is that how Washington stands against Cuba is. We are still waiting the political development in the United States post-presidential election in November. If the Republican Party is successful in power and Donald Trump becomes president, perhaps Washington's policy towards Havana will return to his original stance by firmly supporting the implementation of the embargo against Cuba. Listener, that was commentary today, read by Rahmana.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Welcome to Today in History. Our first historical event occurred on October 28, 1918, Czechoslovakia gains independence from Austria-Hungary. Czechoslovakia is a country in Central Europe, which was established from 1918 to 1992. Following the dissipation of the Warsaw Pact, as changes in the Soviet Union with Glasnost and Perestroika, finally Czechoslovakia separated. The peaceful separation into two states occurred on January 1, 1993. The country broke out peacefully into two states until nowadays, namely the Czech Republic and Slovakia, through a Velvet Revolution. On October 28, 1928, an event of the Youth Pledge Declaration. The Youth Pledge is an authentical evidence that on October 28, 1928, that Indonesia nation was born. Therefore, all Indonesian people commemorate a momentum of October 28th as an Indonesian birthday. Based on independence spirit, the young people from various ethnics met in Jakarta to vow in the spirit of Indonesian independence through the Youth Pledge to recognize one nation, one motherland, and one language Indonesia. The birth process of Indonesian nations is the result from the people's struggle who have been suppressed for hundreds of years by colonialists. The suppression then supported Indonesian youth to fight for the destiny of Indonesian origin, the spirit that became commitment of Indonesian independence, which finally successfully to reach the independence on August 17, 1945. On October 28, 2001, the discovery of Homo floresiensis in Flores Island. The specimens were discovered on the Indonesian island of Flores in 2003 by a joint Australian-Indonesian team of archaeologists looking for evidence of the original human migration of Homo sapiens from Asia to Australia. They were not expecting to find a new species and were surprised at the recovery of a nearly complete skeleton of a hominin they dubbed LB1 because it was unearthed inside the Liangbua cave. Subsequent excavations recovered seven additional skeletons initially dated from 38,000 to 13,000 years ago. An arm bone provisionally assigned to Florensiensis is about 74,000 years old. Homo floresiensis was unveiled on October 28, 2004 and was swiftly nicknamed the Hobbit after the fictional race popularized in J.R.R. Tolkien's book The Hobbit, and a proposed scientific name for the species was Homo habilis. It was initially placed in its own genus, Sundanthropus floresianus, but reviewers of the article felt that the cranium, despite its size, belonged in the genus Homo. Listener, that was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Listener, welcome back to Focus. Today's Focus is entitled Indonesia and Australia Strengthening Terrorism Prevention. Australian Foreign Affairs Minister Julie Bishop held a state visit to the Presidential Palace in Jakarta last Wednesday, October 26, 2016. After she met with President Joko Widodo, Minister Julie Bishop said that Australia and Indonesia are committed to strengthen bilateral cooperation continuously in various sectors. She also said Indonesia and Australia have long cooperated to develop various sectors. One of the issues which was discussed in the bilateral meeting was the cooperation of terrorism and extremism prevention. The cooperation of terrorism prevention was previously discussed in the bilateral meeting between President Joko Widodo and Australian Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull on the sidelines of ASEAN Summit Conference in Vientiane, Laos on September 4. Minister Julie Bishop also said the two leaders want to increase cooperation in the terrorism and extremism prevention. Both countries also shared mutual information and intelligence data to protect their people from terrorism. Moreover, President Joko Widodo and Minister Julie Bishop also discussed about the repatriation of foreign terrorist fighters to their country that must be anticipated in keeping the national security. Minister Bishop emphasized that the terrorism prevention will also become a topic which will be discussed in the visit of President Joko Widodo to Australia in November. Minister Bishop views that, in addition to terrorism prevention, Australia is eager to cooperate in trade and investment field. A few months ago, President Joko Widodo and Prime Minister Turnbull were committed to building relationship and tight cooperation. Meanwhile, Indonesian Coordinating Minister for Political, Legal and Security, Wiranto, said that his meeting with Australian Foreign Minister Julie Bishop in Jakarta last Wednesday was to discuss the national security and counterterrorism that have been built since August in Bali. Wiranto also said the two sides also discussed Indonesia's attitude toward the South China Sea. He perceived that Australia is to help Indonesia to fight radicalism and terrorism, such as in crushing the Santoso terrorist group. The crushing against Santoso group was not apart from Australian intelligence assistance by using advanced technology. Furthermore, Wiranto hopes transfer of technology between Australia and Indonesia so that each country can be independent and cooperative to fight against terrorism without any boundaries. That was Focus Today.
Here news in brief read by Rahmana. Indonesian Director General of Taxation said on Tuesday that small and medium enterprises mass has begun to dominate the tax amnesty in October on by the increasing number of people who submitted asset statement letters SPHS to tax offices. Indonesian and Philippine navies have planned to conduct coordinated joint patrols in a port to increase border security, according to high-level meeting this week. Jakarta Governor Basuki Cahayapurnama has joined hands to cooperate with aid companies to finance the renovation of Hotel Indonesia roundabout Water Fountain, which costs around 28 billion rupiah ahead of the Asian Games 2018. A new facility has been introduced in Indonesia that will use to promote economic development to stimulate grand growth and improve rural livelihoods. Bank Indonesia BI unveiled on Tuesday Wakaf or Islamic Endowment based on Sukuk Islamic Bond aimed at developing social property asset to become commercially self-sustaining. Media as the main act of journalism should become a role model and educate people on ethical journalism. Indonesian ranking the Ease of Doing Business Index has climbed 15 places to 91 from the previous rank of 106. The increase is the world record because no other country could increase 15 levels in a year. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, broadcasting to the frequencies of 9525 kHz, 11.785 kHz, and 15.150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our next program, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, it is nice to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, the culinary art, the fine art, the culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we'll introduce you to know the typical culinary of East Java, namely Rujak Kelang. Stay tuned. Rujak or salad is a traditional culinary in Indonesia, which is made of fruits or vegetable. Usually, rujak is enjoyed with peanut sauce. There is not difficult to find rujak, but each city or region has its own typical rujak. For example, when you visit Banyuwangi, East Java province, you will find fruit rujak, namely Rujak Kelang. Listener, Rujak Kelang consists of slices of mango, cucumber, papaya, and bengkuang. Then, the fruits are mixed with warm-boiled fish sauce, with slice of petis or typical spices of East Java, salt, and pieces of cayenne pepper. For boiled fish sauce, they usually use the fresh fish so that the flavor of sauce also fresh. The sauce is made of fish broth, which is cooked with salt, shrimp paste, and chili. One portion of rujak klang is usually completed with slices of fried tofu and cromelio crackers from cassava flour. Listener, although a simple form, the taste is very delicious. The sour and fresh taste of mango blended with patis and boiled fish sauce make the rujak is liked by most people. Spicy taste of cayenne pepper adding the delicious taste of rujak klang when it is enjoyed, especially in a daytime. However, the spicy taste of rujak klang can be adjusted with your taste. For those who do not like spicy flavor, you can order the rujak klang without chili. The typical culinary of Banyuwangi is a healthy food, because it uses fresh fruits, which is rich in fiber, and the boiled sauce fish is also rich in nutrients. The salad is believed to heal canker sores, improving digestion, and increasing appetite. To find the rujak klang is not difficult. There are food sellers peddle rujak klang in Banyuwangi. However, if you want the delicious taste of rujak klang, we invite you to come to Munchar Beach. The salad is sold with only 3,000 to 5,000 rupiah per portion. Listener, that was today's edition of Indonesian Wonder with the topic of rujak klang. Tomorrow, we'll meet again with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa. Bye for now.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Listener, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome back to Miscellany. Listener, if you plan to visit the city of Bandung, West Java, starting November next month, you will not find styrofoam as boxes or bowls as food containers. Why? Because Bandung seriously prohibits the use of styrofoam as food container. Listener, the use of styrofoam for food packaging currently already familiar among people, whereas the danger lurking behind the white container. Related to the danger posed by styrofoam, Mayor of Bandung Ridwan Kamil, who was familiarly called Kang Emil, has banned the use of styrofoam in the city as a food container. The ban was initiated when Kang Emil watched the rivers in Bandung covered by styrofoam waste, which is caused flooding.
Listener, the policy of banning the use of styrofoam will begin to force on November 1, 2016, next month. The prohibition will be applied gradually to the designation of some areas as the pioneer. This prohibition was revealed by Mayor Ridwan Kamil in their social media accounts on Wednesday, October 12, 2016. It is apparently to get feedback and positive response from his followers. And it is hoped other cities in Indonesia following Bandung to prohibit the use of styrofoam as food containers. Head of Legal Department of Bandung City, Bambang Suheri, explained, "This prohibition program will not directly to ban the use of styrofoam, but it is more instructive to designate some areas as pioneers of the policy implementation. Government agencies and schools will be the priority area. The use of styrofoam has been banned in a number of the world's major cities, such as London and New York. In Indonesia, Bandung will be the first city to implement the environment policy." Listener, styrofoam is made of granules of styrene, which is processed by using benzana. Benzana is a chemical that harms to the health when entered into the human body. In addition, the styrofoam is unfriendly environmentally because it cannot be forced by nature. Listener, that was miscellany for today with the topic Bandung bans the use of styrofoam for food. We'll see you again in other occasions with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
Meet again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome back to our daily segment of Music Corner. To begin today's Music Corner, let's enjoy a dangdut song sang by Maggie Z entitled Sakit Gigi.
Thank you. terbakar api. Kalau tertusuk duri mungkin masih dapat ku tahan. Tapi ini sakit lebih sakit. Kecewa karena cinta.
It often happens to most of people, especially those who are not aware of their health. The pain is extremely painful. Maggie Z uses the taste of toothache for comparing to heartache. This is some of the lyric of the song Sakit Gigi. It's better to have a toothache than a heartache. That song lyric expresses how sad it is to be cheated on by the beloved one. In his songs, he often uses the term of daily life to describe love story. There is one famous song of the singer who died on October 21, 2009, entitled Jatuh Bangun. Listener, let's listen to the next song, Jatuh Bangun, from Maggie Z.
Segenggam cinta, namun kau meminta diriku membawakan bulan ke pangkuanmu. Jatuh bangun aku mencintai, namun dirimu tak mau. Tawarkan segelas air, namun kau meminta lautan. Tak sanggup diriku, sungguh tak sanggup. Thank you. dalam dadaku. Sengaja kau siram dengan air garam. Kejamnya sikapmu membakar hatiku, sehingga cintaku berubah haluan. Percuma saja berlayar kalau kau takut gelombang. Percuma saja bercinta kalau kau takut sengsara. Jatuh bangun aku mengejarmu, namun dirimu tak mau mengerti. Ku bawakan segenggam cinta, namun kau meminta diriku membawakan bulan ke pangkuanmu. Berlayar kalau kau takut gelombang. Percuma saja bercinta kalau kau takut sengsara. Jatuh bangun aku mengejarmu, namun dirimu tak mau mengerti. Ku bawakan segenggam cinta, namun kau meminta diriku membawakan bulan ke pangkuanmu. Ha. Ha.
Listener, you've just listened to the song Jatuh Bangun Feng by Maggie Z. The term of jatuh bangun is often used to reflect a person's sacrifice in order to reach the purpose. The song Jatuh Bangun was really popular song in Indonesia in 1990. Then some of other singers did the arrangements of song which makes Maggie Z more famous. To end the segment of Music Corner, I will play another song from Maggie Z. Although Maggie Z has passed away, until this time, Dangdut listener in Indonesia keep on listening to his songs. I hope you like the songs we have dedicated in this segment. Here is the last song by Maggie Z. Thank you for listening and see you tomorrow.
Thank you.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Hatiku sedang rindu, pada siapa ku mengadu. Dalam hati bertanya selalu, berlinanglah air mataku. Akan ku cari walau kemana, kini aku berkelana. Ke ujung dunia akan ku cari. Kalau hatiku sedang rindu, pada siapa kau pergi tiada pesan. Kabar darimu ku nantikan. Mana janjimu kau ucapkan. Meranalah aku seorang. Ku sedang rindu pada siapa ku mengadu. Dalam hati bertanya selalu, berlinanglah air mataku. Akan ku cari walau kemana, kini aku berkelana. Ke ujung dunia akan ku cari. Kalau hatiku sedang rindu pada siapa. Dalam hati bertanya selalu, berlinanglah air mataku.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.